Good morning. I'm your host, Pam McElvain with The Inclusive Voice. Oh my goodness, can you guys believe it? We are in August. Wow. And we, you know, at least we got the heat back with us. That's a good thing, I believe. So, you know, today I'm really, once again, elated about the conversation we're going to have. We're talking about mentoring the next generation. Maybe mentoring isn't really the right word, but really finding out what the next generation is going to do and what we can do the best way we can is give them some insights and some tools and hope that they basically, you know, take the parts that they use. When I think about what my grandmother said, she said to me, I'm going to always give you advice so you can just take the part that you want to use. And that's what I did. I just took what I want to use. And even today as a mature leader, my great aunt and great grandma gave me advice. So with the new generations, though, you know, they're going to mix things up. That's a matter of fact. And it's important, you know, that they have the knowledge, too, if you will, to understand not just all this information age and everything they get, but the wisdom, the information to the soul that they may not really be aware of because they haven't been exposed to it, except those of them that are among multi-generations within their families. So the one of the things, though, is when we think about, you know, these generations entering the workplace, the corporate sphere, learning with professionals is becoming, you know, more and more a part of what helps younger generations blossom and become our leaders of tomorrow. And don't dismiss the fact that they're not going to work within, you know, the outliers of the workplace to be innovative and to be creative. But coaching and mentoring, and we'll talk about the types of mentoring that has become more and more popular today, I think it's imperative in preparing our next generation. And so with our guests today, we're going to talk about some of the strategies that are leveraged with that. But before we get into that, you guys all know, as I've spoken about every week, Diversity MBA Media with our Inclusive Leadership Index, our corporate benchmarking index for best places for women and diverse managers to work. We've been gathering data for the past 16 years based on the intersection of diversity, equity, and inclusion in talent management. So what that means is we measure the effectiveness of diversity strategies and the realities of the execution of companies in advancing talent of color and women. So one of the trends that we've been looking at the last 5 years are generational attitudes in the workplace. So, you know, you may know this, you might not know this, where folks have talked about that there's five generations in the workplace. Well, the reality is there's seven. There's a Gen Z, and then the millennials are actually they're stage one and two, the 1 to 5 year millennials in the workforce and the 6+ years in the workforce. And that makes sense because millennials don't want to be grouped together. And then you have your Gen X and then your boomers. You know, the boomers are 1 and 2. And that was interesting for me, too, because that happened because boomers all now aren't retiring at 62, and in some cases 65. They're into their 70s. So that, believe it or not, they've actually extended the age of the boomers. So you have 1 and 2 boomers. And then your traditionalist and silent generation, believe it or not, has been kind of expanded to post-war. You're like, okay, you're talking about grandpa on his the latter part of his age in the workforce still. Well, there's so many different ways, particularly with the way we can work in corporate America, you know, with the hybrid situation, being able to work at home, be remote more so than ever before. In fact, that is truly, they call it the new normal. That is now the normal. That's normalized the way culture is changing to include virtual environments. So back to talking about generations, what we found was interesting in some of the trends. You know, we asked about 30 questions to organizations about what the attitudes were like in the workplace of their different generations. And then we went and asked the generations themselves to make sure we had consistency. And some of the trends that we found that were interesting, and I thought this would be interesting to share with you guys, the Gen Zs, when you think about loyalty, it's obvious that the boomers or the traditionalists, you know, have more employees, like 95% of their employees are considered to be more loyal as compared to 29% of Gen Zs and 38% of millennials. But when you go and you look at now ownership of work and results orientation, we found that the Gen Zs and millennials were trending a little bit similar to the boomers in that. And to me, that said that they valued the work they did and they wanted to own their results for what they were able to learn and develop. So I thought that was interesting. And of course, you know, even more so, we found that the most adaptable generation in the workforce were the Gen Xers. And I thought, those are really our leaders of tomorrow, because where your boomers are retiring is the Gen Xers that are in those VP and SVP and executive level roles that are going to move into your C-suite. And they're considered the most adaptable generation, which surprised me. Then the least adaptable is the Gen Zs. So, and you know, that's our young folks coming right out of college. And I was like, wow, okay, they're the least adaptable? That's interesting. And then, you know, even more so, I thought, in high expectations. So where we thought that, you know, they're calling the entitled generation, the Gen X, Gen Zs and millennials, and I'm not so sure is that it's entitlement as much as it is that I expect the return on what I give. So we see that millennials drive the high expectations at 76% of companies, with the Gen Zs right below them, and that makes sense that they. But sometimes their expectations are a little bit out of sorts, but nonetheless, their expectations are there. And then you probably know this, but value driven, our Gen Zs have the highest value driven, because this is a group that socially are conscious and will impact the current structure, if you will, through their voices, through their mechanisms of communications, and able to drive social issues. On a viral scale, you find that this group, you know, they want to know the companies that they work for have value propositions that make sense. And then the last thing I'll share, which I think was really a surprise, a bit of a surprise to me, but I've seen the consistent trend where work-life balance among all generations is really beginning to trend high. But right now, the millennials and the Gen Zs, we're acquiring more work-life balance than the boomers and Gen Xs, which is amazing to me. I'm like, really, y'all just entering the workforce. And y'all want, you know, more balance than those of us getting ready to leave the workforce? But so I've set this stage up for you guys to listen to our conversation as we bring in our incredible guest, Dr. Ty Richardson, who's a speaker, author, coach, and founder of YoPro Global. You'll hear more about the work that he does with young professionals and getting them ready as I've set the stage. So stay tuned with us. Grab your coffee, warm it up, go sit outside on the deck in this great weather, and I'll be right back with you.
Clear your calendars, because from September 20th to the 22nd, Diversity MBA Media is hosting the 16th Annual National Business Leaders Conference and Awards Gala. This virtual conference will be jam-packed with well-credentialed speakers giving insight and perspective on important diversity, equity, and inclusion issues, making this a can't-miss digital event. Head to DiversityMBAMagazine.com for more info.
Welcome back. Thank you all for staying with us. And I'm Pam McElvain, your host, The Inclusive Voice. I'd like to introduce to some and present to others Dr. Ty Richardson. Good morning, Dr. Ty. How are you?
Good morning, Pam. I'm fine, thank you.
So what do you do these days to keep yourself well?
Well, I'm a huge fitness enthusiast. And so whereas normal people walk or go to the gym, I've got two gyms. And so I try to make sure that I'm hitting one gym consistently and then supplementing with the other. That and spending as much time outside as I can.
You know, I can appreciate that, being able to be a fitness enthusiast. I have a bunch of them in my household right now. So, you know, what do you do for mental wellness? How are you keeping yourself, you know, mentally fit, and particularly in, you know, stressful situations, and particularly about what we're hearing in the communities too, with all the craziness going on? What are some suggestions you have there?
So really and truly, I think we are in a post event that is a generationally defining, being COVID. And it, you know, what I did before COVID, what I do after COVID, it's two different things. Now, I've had COVID three times, and one would assume that I'm a little bit more cautious and I slow down a little bit. But as somebody on the cusp of Gen X and Gen Y, I can't not be social. I can't not be out and about. So I try to maintain a certain level of social engagement with friends and you know, try to be somewhat conscious that I might get COVID a fourth time, but it doesn't slow me down. So mental health-wise, I really just enjoy spending time with friends and family, socializing, being out and about, and, you know, making sure that I have that balance, work-life balance.
Oh, that's awesome. So what generation are you in?
So I'm right on the cusp of X and Y, depending on what years you're using. So I'm 1979.
Okay. Cool. That's what, you notice I said generation versus age, right? Depends on how you feel that day. My great grand, she just passed at 94, but I remember when she was 90, she goes, "Oh, I feel like I'm 57. That's what I'm talking about.
Right, it's kind of how I can relate. Feel.
Yeah. So where are you calling in from?
So I live in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Oh, see, that's why you're out there all the time. You can't help it.
Exactly. I'm a mile from the beach, so it's really hard to like not be out and about.
So you know what I found interesting in your bio, and I want to talk a little bit about your background before we actually go into your work, is that you've identified yourself as a Trinidadian American. I so love that. Oh my goodness. I said, yes, this would help if everyone was able to be this specific in their identity. And wow, wouldn't we educate the world, and particularly North America? Wouldn't they have a whole nother level of heightened awareness about other cultures if people were able to be that specific in terms of their heritage?
Especially America, where we are a melting pot of people.
Yeah, especially America. I love it. So, you know, share a little bit about your background. Where'd you grow up? Where'd you study? What are your interests?
So I was born in Trinidad. I was born and raised. I lived there until I was 18, and then I moved to Washington, D.C. I began working for American Airlines in Trinidad, and I moved with them to Washington, D.C., where I spent the next 6 years of my life. I went to school at George Mason. I had an undergrad in advertising, a master's in international commerce and public policy. And then American moved me to Dallas, where I spent 3 years running our business development department for the credit union. And I started a PhD there in organization and management with an emphasis on generational differences between Generation X and Generation Y as they consumed airline travel. And then the company moved me over to Ireland, where I spent 4 years of the next 4 years in Ireland before leaving American and heading to San Francisco. I spent 2 years in San Francisco building a social network. Didn't get the hockey stick curve that we thought we would get, so ended up pivoting and going back and becoming a digital nomad and traveling throughout the Caribbean. I built a six-figure marketing agency and then came back to the U.S. and launched a financial consultancy. That helped broker capital between people who needed funds and people who had funds, scale that up to a seven-figure company, and then moved into coaching. I continued the work that I was doing with young professionals, but we created a foundation for youth and young professionals, partnered with the University of the West Indies, and launched a series of teaching youth and young professionals soft and life skills virtually to 28 countries across the Caribbean. So today, I'm a coach and business. Yes, I'm a coach and strategist. Run the foundation, and then help drive more youth and young professional advocacy.
That's great. So I really enjoy the work you did. So in terms of where'd you go undergraduate? What did you do undergraduate?
My undergrad was at George Mason University.
Oh, George Mason.
Okay. In Virginia.
In Virginia, right. And then you, in Texas, you did your graduate program?
So I did, my undergrad and graduate degrees were both in Virginia, George Mason, and then I started a PhD when I was living in Texas, but the PhD was out of Minnesota. So I finished living in Ireland.
That's incredible, right? With our new online environment, you can be in the different workplaces to complete your education, and that's great.
I was just going to say it's an evolution or testament to the evolution of education to meet the next generation where they are.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to ask about your educational background, that kind of journey, because it's different, right? It's different today in terms of how decisions are made and what you're going to do. And what I also love about your career experience is that you've been able to navigate in just like 14 years to navigate, corporate America, and then entrepreneurship, and then back, as well as being able to support other businesses and then end up doing something, that's as impactful as working with the youth. So I find that to be very fascinating. Let me just ask you, what kind of, what were some of the, I don't want to say triggers, but what were some of the things that, you said, okay, I want to now, kind of go out on my own and, I think I've, experienced enough of corporate America. What kind of, pushed you out there, pushed you forward, if you will?
It was a perfect storm, as it were. Each of my promotions and my departures from the position that I was in within corporate America was based on, something that happened that I felt was an injustice. I left Americans Dallas headquarters because the department I worked in wasn't representative. It was the leader we had wasn't trained in diversity, and I felt like I couldn't grow there. And so they gave me an opportunity in Europe, and that was an amazing 4 years. My decision to leave American altogether was just based on the company, at that time was filing bankruptcy, and they needed to downsize the population. I got an offer of 2 years of pay and 2 years of flight benefits and the opportunity to return 2 years later. But it's hard. Like, once you leave and you taste freedom and entrepreneurship, to go back to a great cube, an office in a great cube in a building. So for me, once I decided to go into entrepreneurship with that safety net, there was no turning back.
Yeah. And I think you said it. It's really having not just having the intention, but having the opportunity to know that you have a safety net so that way you can launch forward and really build your passion. Because once you've been out there, been out here 25 years, and been offered to come back many, many, many times over the last couple decades, and just don't see it, never saw it as an opportunity to go back. So that's so good to hear about your background. We're going to take a quick commercial break and stay tuned with us. And then we're going to be back and just learn a lot more exciting information about Dr. Tai's journey and how he's leveraged his expertise to help others. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with you.
From emails that get no response to improper billing and shipping to inventory mistakes, waste can be an expansive, encompassing problem. With a track record of success that includes over $7 billion in successful projects, Bold Business has been helping clients over two decades. Whether you seek to enhance the performance of current anti-waste and waste initiatives, reduce reputational damage in the face of heightened public scrutiny, or simply safeguard cost efficiency, Bold Business has the answers. Check out boldbusiness.com for more information.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Pam McElvain, here with my guest, Dr. Ty Richardson, speaker, author, and coach. And I'm going to throw in there serial entrepreneur. Why don't you? Because he has definitely done all these different things. So just before we jump into some of the work, what did you find is your most meaningful experience globally? And I ask that because I've spent also a lot of time, not just traveling, but I have the ability to visit about 25 to 30 countries. And so would like to know, you know, what was most impactful for you in some of your global experience working abroad?
So what was really impactful to me was my time as a digital nomad. I loved my time in Ireland, don't get me wrong. I did things I didn't think I could do. You know, I started a networking organization as a foreigner, as an expat in another country, and grew it to 600 people. Eventually, it ballooned into a franchise. And all we were doing were designing immersive experiences. But one of the things that really blew my mind was I went to, as a digital nomad, I gave up everything in the U.S. I started traveling the Caribbean with just a laptop. And I went to Trinidad, even though I hadn't lived there for 10 years, and I didn't have a business network. But we were able to start and build what became a six-figure marketing agency on the back of just networking, just meeting people, shaking hands, being social. You know, it became a science as to how to network and how to scale. We had dinner with the prime minister after 4 months. And the biggest, I guess, accomplishment was, you know, Coca-Cola, which is a global brand, asked us to build, you know, an amusement park, a massive amusement park with, you know, an 80-foot high Christmas tree. I've never built an amusement park before, but that didn't stop us from taking on the challenge and doing an amazing job at it. And it was one of the culminations of my career. I started something from nothing, and within, you know, 14 months, we grew it into a six-figure company with massive brands paying attention.
Oh, that is incredible. Kudos to you. So tell me, what do you mean by digital nomad?
So a digital nomad is somebody who doesn't have a home, as it were. We traveled from country to country. The only consistency we had was being able to work off of the laptop. It was very liberating and freeing as an experience. But yeah, I built a business on a laptop. No brick and mortar, no infrastructure, no nothing, just the laptop.
Yep. And I wanted you to share that because I want our audience to understand that. And today, believe it or not, individuals that have the ability to be remote and work anywhere, I actually even, you know, one of my my oldest sons actually works around the country with his laptop because he can work anywhere and he leaves. You know, every month he's someplace different. So I think that's great. I love when you talked about actually science, networking, and scaling is a science. There is a science to it, right? And I think maybe people take it for granted and don't realize that there actually is a very specific science to doing that work. So I find it pretty fascinating. So the fact that, you know, what were some of the key things that were unique to you guys in building, you know, a social network to grow an agency even as fast as you did? I know there's a normal thing that people do when they think they're networking, but what really stood out for you guys?
So for us, it was visibility. You know, one of the things is, you know, sharing the good news, success stories, credibility testimonials of work we had done when we did get a shot, a chance, and making sure it was highly visible and we were highly visible. And this is something that I actually coach other folks on. In networking, people want to know, who's that guy? I've seen his face. I've seen his face 2, 3, 4 times. What does he do? And that sparks the interest in them wanting to get to know you and them wanting to do work with you. I often tell people in networking, it's not who you know. It's not who knows you. The only time someone will pick up the phone and give you a shot or do something for you is if they like you. So it's about creating that relationship, that starting that relationship ahead of time and making sure that you present well, that people have a reason to want to get to know you, a curiosity about you. And then when they do get to know you, they're happy, they're engaged, they're even more curious, and that you're building that brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. You know, and then, you know, let me just ask you this. I'm just going to go to a raw question with you. not a script. But so what do you think about TikTok?
So this is one of the hugest and biggest innovations that I've seen in our modern era. Okay, so we didn't think, you know, going back to our days, I mean, you know, I'm not going to ask you your age, but I'm going to assume that we're close in age, close enough in age. One of the things is we never thought that Facebook would be what it is. We never thought Instagram would be what it is. People join these platforms and these networks and they build companies, they build marketing agencies, they become influencers. Whether we have an opinion about it or not, one, it exists. Two, they're million, if not billion-dollar industries. And three, people are having continuous success and becoming millionaires off of it. So TikTok is just the next advance, the next generation, the next evolution of what we've built and been operating for the past 20 years. So, you know, the Gen Y generation are the ones who came up with Facebook and Instagram, and they're the ones who populated it and created the platform. The Gen Zers are the ones who said, okay, no, we'll do a better version and we'll create TikTok. More influencers, like it is such a valuable network in that generation that we can't discount it. We can have feelings about it, but we can't discount it because it's going to produce the next wave of millionaires.
Yeah. So, you know what? You're right on. And I agree. And the Gen Ys right now, I mean, which I have some that are out there creating the next thing. I have some that are creating their own coins. And then it's the, like you said, and the Gen Zs will take it to the next level. And thank you for the nice compliment. so I can sound young, but I won't tell you. You'll never hear the age from me. I thank you for that, because one of the things that I think is a huge opportunity is, getting off subject a little bit, is where traditional businesses can learn to leverage TikTok to get higher visibility. And that's something we're thinking about. We have a pretty significant following already in our media brands, but now, you know, we said, why not jump on the gravy train and see if we can reach that next generation that really not into diversity, not the way the workplace is. They kind of got their own thing going on and what they believe it is, because, you know, they're kind of inherently diverse anyway. But thank you for that. So what we need to be ready for, if I'm hearing you correctly, is that, hey, the next is going to keep coming. And if you're bold and curious enough, you know, lean into it. Otherwise, it's going to go right by. It's going to blow right past you.
It's actually a mindset shift, Pam. You know, and there's an old adage: if you always stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And so, you know, we have to be comfortable in the fact that our technology is advancing. It's advancing faster and faster and faster. What would have taken 20 years is now taking 5. And so we can't wait for the next thing. We have to be agile, and we have to be in business. We have to be agile and conscious that something is coming. And are we ready to, like, we can't wait to see if it's going to work out. We can't wait to see what it does. We have to always be with it, ready to go, jumping on board, not questioning the market, just evolving with it.
Yeah. And, you know, and I love that we're talking about this mind shift in the workplace. And if you think about, and I'm not going to get into that with you, but when you think about, you know, just everything happening right in politics, I'm like, my goodness, you know, you can't even, you know, stay ready to, you know, to adapt and be agile. But we better be. We better be in a mindset of being able to, I think, to shift and advocate for what we believe in. Because if we don't, you know, there's a smaller population that's just going to do what they want to do. And we're going to get back into the business, but I just wanted people to think about, you know, kind of what you said in the way of just, you know, looking at, you know, how you're thinking, your mind shifting, staying ready for what's changing environmentally and socially and politically, and agile, flexible, and you said conscious, and being conscious about the choices that you make so that, you know, whatever the impact is, it reflects on the movement or the direction you want to go and, you know, lean into. So thank you, you know, for those insights. So we're going to take another commercial break, and then we're going to be back with Dr. Ty and go a little bit more now into the work he actually does and has done with his company. So stay tuned with us, and we'll be right back with you.
Everyone's talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. Let Diversity MBA Media bring you up to speed on the discussion. With benchmarking services that help enterprises gauge and expand the diversity of their workforces, to fresh, insightful, deep dive articles on the Diversity MBA website, CEO Pam Mickelvain leverages years of experience and some of the foremost thought leaders on diversity, equity, and inclusion to spread the DEI message and curate content that educates and enlightens. In addition, Diversity MBA Media hosts annual conferences that bring together speakers from all across the DEI spectrum, with thousands of virtual attendees learning industry best practices from a wide range of perspectives. Check out Diversity MBA Media, join the diversity, equity, and inclusion movement, and be a part of the discussion. www.diversitymbamagazine.com.
Welcome back, everyone. This is your host, Pam Mickelvain, with our guest, Dr. Ty Richardson. We're going to talk a little, let me just update you. We've been talking a little bit about, you know, what's going on in the workplace and this global entrepreneur and multinational leader that has done some incredible things in terms of driving change and basically this digital nomad who's built multiple businesses. But he now has an organization called YoPro Global, and I want to talk a little bit about the vision and mission around this work. So go ahead, quickly go warm up the coffee and come right on back and join us. Okay, Dr. Ty, so let's talk a little bit about YoPro Global, which was originally designed to be a social media network. Share with us a little bit about the vision, how it was meant to work, and you know, what that experience has been like.
So when I lived in Europe working for American, I felt very impassioned as an expat in that country, wanting to meet people and make connections. But I didn't feel like I had a venue to do that, an environment to do that. And so I thought, let's create one. And I went to London and I met this group, and they were doing, they had a networking group called European Young Professionals. And so I came back to Ireland and I asked them if I could use the name, and I started it, and we had 120 other young professionals that started, that came to the first event with us, and we felt, okay, we have momentum. And over the course of 2 years, we continued doing once a month immersive experiential events that brought young people together, and it was fantastic, phenomenal. We grew a database, people were networking, so that when I decided to leave American, I thought, let's make this into something viable. I was convinced at the time, it was 2011, that we should turn this and pivot it into a social network for a much broader reach. We did, you know, we spent a lot of money. We went through the motions. We did an accelerator. We launched a social network and we got some users, but it wasn't the hockey stick curve that Facebook and LinkedIn had proven you need to get if you want to be successful as a social network. So we, you know, we petered around for about 2 years, and then I decided, you know what, I was really good at building it and doing events and using the experiential event model. So that's when I gave everything up and decided we're going to go on the road and just travel the Caribbean and do events for people. And we did. And we brought back the momentum that we had when we were in Europe. And so we thought, okay, let's continue with events. And, you know, we did that for the 2 years we were in the Caribbean, came back to the U.S. and tried. But for some reason, it didn't quite evolve the way we thought it would again. I mean, the U.S. market may be a different market. Maybe it was too diluted. Maybe our time had passed. But what did stand out was that the University of the West Indies approached us and they said, you know, we value the events that you did in when you were in the Caribbean. We'd like to do a partnership. And so we signed a partnership with them in 2018 that would allow us to, from the U.S., bring developed world speakers to the developing world and educate them on soft and life skills, the skills that they would need to network, to interact, to socialize, to do the things that we had done for the past 10 years as, you know, as a social network and as an experiential event agency, and really pass it on to these students. So for the past 3 years, we've worked with the university and facilitated online webinars that educate mostly students, alumni, and folks in the community on soft and life skills that they need to advance and to grow as individuals. And then we host an annual conference virtually every year that puts all of these great speakers in online for 3 days and gives people access to it.
Awesome. So what's your conference?
So the conference is called the Soft and Life Skills Conference. That's in October. It's at the end of October. It's the last 3 days before, the last three working days before Halloween. And it's facilitated online. And we'll have a lot more information coming out on that in September. And next year, we're actually going to throw our first gala.
Oh, okay. Awesome. I like that. Soft and Light Skills Conference. I love it. What's your date? What's your date for it?
The dates for the Soft and Light Skills Conference are going to be October 25, 26, and 27.
And where do people go to get more information?
They can go to our website, which is yoproglobal.org.
yopro.org. Right.
yopro global.org. Yes.
Oh, great. Global. Thank you. YoPro Global. I love it. So who attends the conference? Who comes?
So it is students and alumni from across 28 countries in the Caribbean. Everyone is welcome to attend. It's free. But it's students and alumni from across the Caribbean that attend the University of the West Indies. And then folks in the emerging markets, anybody who has an interest in sort of developing themselves.
Got it. Okay. So that's awesome. And what are some of the, so help people, like what are, give us some examples of soft and light skills. Or just some soft skills or light skills.
Yeah, so the last conference we had, we focused on sharing, for example, the journey. It was called the conference was called The Journey, and it was about different people who've accomplished success and gone from one thing to the next. For example, we had a guy who went from being a sponsorship director at the Florida Panthers to working in nonprofits. We had a woman who went from Brazil to and relocated to the United States. And so it was anybody who had a journey in their life and the life lessons that they learned on their journey. And that could have been anything from, you know, valuing people more to valuing a work-life balance to making sure that their communication standards and skills met the market they were going to instead of the market they were coming from. So it's not just your typical, you know, how to be more disciplined or how to be more on time or how to be more articulate. None of those things. It's more about actual practical experiences that folks have had and the lessons that they learned from those experiences.
Yeah, isn't that amazing how we have to go back? We're going back to the basics, if you will, right? When you just think about the generations before us that really experientially storytelled and shared with us their lessons in life for us to be able to pick up and learn from that. And they have a whole conference that does that. And there's many of them in different forms. But just, you know, listen to you spend 3 days where people are just learning from each other. I've always felt that was the greatest way of learning is where people can learn from sharing each other's experience.
It's the reason masterminds are so successful, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That is the reason they're so successful. So what do you feel young professionals today need to know before joining the workforce? What gap do you think is existing between what schools are preparing them for and then have an opportunity to?
Well, that's the thing. You know, we have such varying perceptions on what school prepares you for. You know, I had a professor who told me school's not about education. That you can get on Google. School's about the networks that you make, the relationships you build. And that's why teaching soft and life skills was important for us and the area we wanted to focus on is because the ability to use those soft and life skills to build relationships, even from the college years, are the things that you're going to rely on as you go through life, as you go through your career. And so it is making sure that, you know, our kids and our young professionals are ready for the human interaction aspect of the workforce. You know, when we, in the Generation Y and the millennial and the zillennial generation, we spend so much time on social media, so much time on technology overall, that we have sort of dipped a little bit on the human interaction skill set. And while the people who are networking with those folks are the same as them, you know, there is a benefit in amping up those life skills, those soft skills, those communication skills, those networking skills, those engagement skills, because those are the things that will help you deepen the relationships and really make sure that you are prepared and backed up and successful, and you have a counselor and a coach and a resource and a partner and a confidant and a sounding board as you go through your career, as you hit up obstacles, as you go through entrepreneurship, as you have failures and pitfalls. It is that relationship, that social network, that circle around you that's going to make you successful. And it's making sure that our young people know how to build that, how to sustain it, how to recover from it as they advance themselves professionally.
Wow, that's so good, and that's very real, because we have all these smart children going into, or young people going into college and taking the courses, and if they don't inherently know how to build their social networks, they'll graduate without one. So that is very, very critical work that you're doing. You know, we're going to take a break here and then come right back, and I want to kind of delve in a little bit more about what we can do and what strengths and how young people can actually find you guys, and you know how you actually find the talent to coach and prepare them. So we will be right back. Stay tuned with us. We're here with Dr. Ty, the digital nomad who has built the next experiential agencies to make things happen, has a soft and life skills conference coming up. So stay tuned, go grab your coffee, and we'll be right back with you.
The tech talent war in the US is making it almost impossible for companies to hire, and is holding companies back from achieving their important business goals. What is the answer? Go global with Bold Business. We have the reach, experience, and proven methods to help your company access great talent. From recruiting and sourcing to onboarding and post-hiring operations, Bold Business can help businesses tap into a worldwide talent pool and can craft solutions for an enterprise of any size. Go bold and let Bold Business solve your talent challenges and help your company succeed. Contact at www.boldbusiness.com.
Welcome back. I hope you've been with us enjoying and listening for the young folks that you have right there in your network to reach out and have them go to yoproglobal.org and learn more about an organization designed and dedicated to helping young people. So Dr. Ty, we have with us Dr. Ty Richardson. So Dr. Ty, just I love the organization, the nonprofit you have. So how does a person hear about you? How does a young professional know you exist and could engage in the services you provide?
So, you know,
walk me through that.
Yeah. So you know, I do a fair amount of community events, community activities, and getting involved. I am in the process of trying to do more work on an international basis. Like I mentioned, we're going to do a gala next year, our first gala, and that's going to reach a larger audience in the Caribbean. I'm very active enough on social media, though my TikTok is severely lacking. But I do have a presence on social media. Anyone can visit me. It's Dr. Ty Rich on various social media platforms. And I'm always happy to come out and visit and share what we do and how we do it with different audiences, if it's of interest. So yeah, I'm totally flexible and involved in a lot of different things, and trying to get involved in even more things to really spread that message of youth and young professional support.
So are you guys just primarily in the Caribbean? Are you trying to, I know you're doing, going to the global markets. Are you trying to have a specific push here in North America to get some of these younger people involved?
Absolutely. I feel, though, that there is a gap. We want everybody to know that they have access to what we offer. However, I do feel like there is a gap with the immigrant population. I think that, you know, developing countries, citizens of developing countries coming into the U.S. are slightly disadvantaged. And when they get here, we want them to be productive members of society. We want them to advance as quickly as they can. I had that opportunity, and I would like to give that to other folks. So if we can reduce the friction, reduce that that gap, by giving them skills before they get here, or even when they just get here, I feel like we'll have a lot more productive members of society and communities overall.
So, so go ahead and continue telling me about more about what I need to do as a certified strength coach from Gallup. Love to hear you continue to share.
So Pam, when people think about strength, people don't always associate this with it being something that's natural. But what a strength is, which is different from a skill, is that strength is a natural behavior, something that's innate and organic to you. A skill is something you learn and you develop over time. So it takes roughly the same amount of energy that to develop a strength from something that's weak into something that's average, as opposed to something that's good, into something that's great. The exercise that I like to do with people when discovering strengths and understanding how it works is, you know, if you were to write your name with your left hand, if you were a right-hander, and you write it with your right hand, obviously your right hand is going to look better, right? It's going to perform better. It's going to be better. It's going to feel better. And so as a result, if we start leaning and investing in the things that we're already strong and good at, we're going to feel better. We're going to be more productive and we're going to be more profitable. Why take that same effort and energy and putting it to a weakness, into something we're not good at, so we can be average at best? So leaning into your strengths, as a strength-based coach, I teach you how to discover your strengths, lean into your strengths, and thus improve your quality of life so that you live a more productive, profitable, and happier quality of life.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. So I'm a master certified professional transformational and executive coach. And so I really love the way that you've taken strength. And when I'm talking to executives, I actually call it their competencies and their inherent and innate abilities and the proficiencies that are learned to develop. But I could see, this made so much sense, and this is so clear to me based on what you're saying, so where a young mind can definitely absorb and understand. And they know about their strengths. They may not know how to write. They may not know how to collectively leverage them in a positive way. But with the way that you're approaching it and coaching them, you're trying to get them to identify as much as you can about their strengths, their natural strengths, so that they can have a collective, power to influence what they want to do, whatever they think that it is they want to do. Mm-hmm. So I love that. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not about ignoring your weaknesses either. It's about being conscious and aware of those weaknesses, making sure that they're addressed, making sure that they're taken care of, but really living and focusing on your strengths.
Yeah. And I usually, and I hear you like on weaknesses, I don't even like to call them that. I like to call them your opportunity areas, because I always tell my sons, my boys, that you always have a choice, even if you don't think you do. You always have a choice. So you have to think about the consequence of that choice. You may not like the consequences of the choice. You may not like the choices you have. Therefore, you may not like the consequences that you receive. But you always have the choice. And now within that choice that you make and understanding what the consequence is, how can you affect it to maybe be something different and take that opportunity that needs to be improved, right, into something more. So I really love this. What has been the biggest pushback from the younger generation and some of your coaching experiences and some of their toughest challenges?
So I think that the toughest challenge that most young people have is being misunderstood. I think with this generation, a lot of young people they don't follow a model. We can generalize and call them millennials or nomads, whatever we want. But a lot of them have an identity that's so unique and so individualistic that, treating them like everyone else, like their peers, or macroing them, treating them like one large group, isn't very appealing to them. It doesn't help them meet their needs. And we've given them one thing that no other generation has really had, which is accessibility to a different degree. I mean, you can be friends with the president on Facebook. You can have your voice heard on a YouTube channel. You can own your own television YouTube channel. Like, you can do so many things yourself that you know, people have the freedom and the accessibility to be great, but they're lumped into certain categories and identities and definitions prescribed by an older generation most times. So it is, you know, coaching young people, it is about getting them to believe in themselves, to be able to do those things regardless of what other people say or think or categorize them as or label them as, because this generation don't like labels. You mentioned it earlier. They really are an inclusive and diverse generation, not because it's the thing that's trending or the thing to do, but that's how they were born. Like, they only know that. They only know that sense of community. And so I think some of them are coming up in a world where they don't understand the world or the generations that have gone before them, and they have to play by those rules until they get to make their own rules, which doesn't come until a few years later.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. I definitely can relate to that assessment. So I know we only have my goodness, we are down to the last few minutes. So what would you want people to know about you? What advice would you give them? Definitely we want to send them to yoproglobal.org for more information. But what advice would you give them, particularly if they are in the space of, you know, having grandchildren or their younger children, young professionals in the household, or, you know, just one arm length away? What advice would you give, you know, the generation that's here for the generation that's coming in terms of supporting?
So the generation that's here for the generation that's coming, I would encourage you to be adventurous, to flip the switch, to look at the world through the paradigm of the generation that's coming next, the younger folks in your household. Learn from them, experience with them, celebrate in the way that they celebrate. Join their TikTok feeds, join their Instagram posts. Have fun with it. Life is short. You've done a good job of building the world for them to enjoy. Watch them build their world for their successors to enjoy. Enjoy it.
Ah, well said. So thank you so much, Dr. Ty Richardson. It was such a pleasure to have you and to learn from you in the show. We enjoyed you today and hope to have you back again in the future.
Sounds great, Pam. It was an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, and I look forward. If you want to learn more about me, you can also visit drtyrichardson.com.
Excellent. So we're going to go to this commercial break, and we'll be right back with you with our Mind Your Money segment. And I'm Pam McElvain, your host, Diversity MBA Media, looking forward to bringing you the inclusive voice.
Don't let the tight labor market get in the way of your company's success. Open your mind to new ideas and open your enterprise to new workforce solutions. With Bold Business, companies can leverage extensive global assets and a lengthy track record of success in reducing labor costs. Don't let borders get in the way of giving your company the best possible workforce. For remote positions, Bold Business can save clients up to 30 to 50% with skilled and experienced candidates from a global talent pool. Head to boldbusiness.com for more information.
Hello and welcome to Mind Your Money with Delaney Michelle Elliott. This is the Inclusive Voice. With this segment of Mind Your Money, I'm so excited to talk to our young people. We want to help you make some savvy money moves. Yes, that's right. Savvy money moves. With a vehicle that I want to talk about right now is the Tax Advantage Bucket. Y'all know I love to talk about the three buckets of money. Well, the power of youth is that you have time during your powerful earning years to be able to invest your money and make the best contributions right now. Right now, the income tax rates are as low as they have ever been in the country. And the more time you have to take your money, pay your income tax on it now, and then put that money in tax-free or tax-advantaged buckets, your money's gonna compound over time, and it's going to build and give you the opportunity to take distributions tax-free. And you say, well, Delana, I'm young. I'm not worried about retirement right now. That's when you want to make your contributions. Okay? You want to make your contributions into this tax-free bucket while you have the most earning power, which is right now. Pay your tax while the income tax rates are as low as they've ever been, and then be able to compound, maximize, multiply at the powerful interest rates, and then be able to take those distributions tax-free. So what are some of the tax advantage investment opportunities? Roth IRAs, Roth 401ks, Roth conversions, and yes, specially designed and structured cash value life insurance policies. Regardless of what you're listening to on TikTok and YouTube, I'm telling you, the experts are saying that the young people have the best advantage to take advantage of the tax advantage bucket, because the IRS has protected these buckets and these vehicles under the tax code. Yes, this is your opportunity right now to be able to take advantage of your youth and your earning power. Roth IRAs, Roth 401ks. If you're working, you want to ask your employer if they have a Roth 401k that you can pay your tax on it now, make your contributions, and then be able to take that money out tax-free later when you want to use it, when you want to borrow against it. Have you heard the term infinite banking, or being your own banker, or creating your own banking system? That's the power of your youth. And we want to take your youth combined with these tax advantage buckets and help you make some savvy money moves. Again, this is Delana Michelle Elliott. Thank you so much for listening to Mind Your Money on The Inclusive Voice. You can reach me at womenwithwealth.com, womenwithwealth.com, for more tips and more strategies to help you today. Thank you.
Keep your finger on the pulse of the diversity, equity, and inclusion movement. Check out DiversityMBAMagazine.com. As a dedicated news and media focal point for workplaces, professionals, and students, DiversityMBAMagazine.com is chock full of profiles of accomplished professionals in the DEI space, as well as notes of recognition and other newsworthy items. Check out the 2021 50 Out Front, get the skinny on diversity recruiting, tap into the latest in DEI. Go to DiversityMBAMagazine.com and subscribe for updates.